Hello and welcome back. Welcome to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. If you've been tuning in for any length of time, you know that what we do here on this radio station and during this slot is we preach verse by verse Bible messages. We bring forth the entire counsel of God's Word. This way, as a preacher and teacher, I can't skirt across the hard things, and you, as a listener, aren't subject to dealing with just the easy and the good stuff. So we get the entire counsel of God's Word, and this is how we grow. And isn't that what it's all about, friends, that we grow in Christ, that we grow in maturity? And so Paul is writing this letter to the 1 Corinthians church. That's where we are right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we want to just invite you over to the Washing Word. That's how this ministry is brought to you. We are self-funded. We are self-sufficient. My wife and I have opened up this car wash here in Church Hill on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. And we opened up this business for the sole purpose of earning our income. And along with that, providing these Bible teachings to you. And we do this by working on your car. We have a hand car wash where we wash cars, we do details, and we have a lot of different services that we can do for you. And we do a really good job because we believe that that we don't work for anyone, we don't work for ourselves, we don't work for you, but that we work for God. And so the Bible is clear. It says, in all that you do, do it all for the glory of God. So we wash cars for the glory of God. And we do it so we can get these Bible teachings out into the world. We had a unique opportunity to visit literally probably 100 churches in the last 6 or 7 years. God gave us a wilderness period of our lives. And what we found was that the entirety of God's Word is not being preached in our churches almost exclusively. Oh, we get into our Bibles. We'll read some verses. But nothing is being brought in a way that brings the entire counsel of God's Word. And so what's happening is we're getting imbalanced preaching. And the reason for that is nobody wants to preach the hard stuff because nobody wants to hear the hard stuff. And the problem with preaching the hard stuff is you run the risk of chasing people out of the door. Even the controversial subjects like once saved, always saved, or predestination, and you know, topics that are hot buttons. There are so many pastors, teachers, preachers, and churches that stay so far away from those things, you would think that they're not even in the Bible. And so we decided, look, if we can't find a church that's preaching the fullness of God's Word, we're going to start a ministry of our own. And that's what we did here at the Washing Word. I can go on for the whole 15-minute spot talking about this business and this ministry, but that's not why I'm here on this radio station. That's not why I'm doing these recordings. I'm doing them to get the Word of God out. So if you need information, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. I also want to invite you to, I teach verse by verse live at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. I'm there on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And we invite you to the church service, again, Sundays at 6 for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. All right, let's get back into 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 5, and Paul is dealing with immorality, specifically of a sexual type. And he's already rebuked the sinner. He's already rebuked the church for accepting the sinner and not addressing the sin or the problem. And in verses 6 through 8, which is what we read last message, Paul, he gives three reminders as to why it's so important to discipline sin within the members of the church, whether that's a Christian who's backslidden or a sheep's and wolf clothing who never knew Jesus to begin with. Discipline of the sin is so important because, as we looked at, number one, a little leaven can spoil the whole batch. You know, one little sin can become two little sins, and two little sins can be one medium sin, and one medium sin can become a grand prize. Just like when you're at the fair or the carnival and you win that little prize, and if you win two or three little prizes, you can get a medium prize. And you know, that's the devil getting a foothold mentality. All he needs to do is get in there with one little sin and he could make it rise. And then Paul reminds them also that they are a new batch of dough, that in Christ our leaven has been removed. And that we should not go back to our old ways of life. And one way to do that, Paul says, thirdly, we are to celebrate life. Celebrate those facts. The fact that we are a new creation. The fact that we are a new batch of dough. The fact that Jesus took our sin and our penalty. And when we celebrate those things, it's much easier to avoid them, to avoid the opposite, which is the sin. So what is a celebration? Well, it's usually a remembrance or a reminder of some great event, a birthday, an anniversary, a Christmas. And if your new life in Christ isn't terms for a celebration, then I don't know what is. And so if we don't celebrate our new life in Christ on a regular and consistent basis, we are naturally going to cease to appreciate that new life. Have you ever thought about that? That if we don't take the time to just meditate on God's word, meditate on the finished work of Christ, we will begin to take that life for granted, and we will no longer appreciate the awesome gift that this new life, that this sin-forgiveness life has given us. And that's why we go to church. That's why we continue to fellowship. That's why we spend time alone with God. We need to recognize and remember that God's mercy is new every day, that each day in Christ is a birthday. So we are born again every day that we wake up. And so if we could remember that each day is an anniversary of our brand new life, each day is a reason to celebrate. Now look, I get it. I'm the same way. Most of us are. We wake up in the morning and our first thought is on, how are we going to get the kids to school? Who's going to be the babysitter? What if I'm late for work? I mean, there's 1,000 things that can go through your mind before the realization and the reflection of our sin-forgiven life even crosses our minds. And friends, I'm not going to excuse that because that's an atrocity. Our first step onto the floor should be a reminder to go before the throne and to thank God. Now again, we all do it, we all forget, we all get busy, but you know, they say it takes 30 days to make a habit. So I challenge you to do the foot to the floor challenge. The moment your feet hit the floor out of bed, take a minute while you're still sitting there on your bed, pray, focus, remember, think about, meditate on, and just picture Jesus. Because friends, when you put your foot on the floor, you have a brand new day, and God's mercies are new. And whatever you did yesterday is gone, and it's forgotten. You're starting over this morning. Even if you're hearing my voice now and the sound of this radio station, take a minute to acknowledge your new start today. And this goes a long way in getting through the things that we deal with on a daily basis. All right, let's finish chapter 5 and we'll close it out with verses 9 through 13. I have written you in my letters not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not only to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. So I imagine as Paul's writing this, he's trying to think. It's called diatribe, where he writes trying to think about what his readers are probably thinking while reading this. And he got to this point in the letter, and he probably figured to himself, uh-oh, they might be thinking I'm talking about don't associate with sinners in general. So he makes these last verses to clear things up. He says, he expands on the borders of the sinful brother and sister. He's saying, and it's not just sexual sins, but he goes on to give all these examples. And so it's clear that we should make a distinction between who we are to judge and who we are not to judge. Now, obviously, those that are in the world should not be judged by us. Paul says so, because they are what they are. Not to mention that God judges the iniquities of the unbeliever. We are not called to judge that. We are called to judge those with inside the church. Now, that being said, being possessors of the only absolute truth of that is God's word, we can judge behaviors in an unbeliever, but only for the purpose of showing them the sin. You understand? That we point out behaviors that are sinful in an unbeliever's life, and we do that in an effort to show them that it's because of this immoral behavior you're in desperate need of Jesus. But we don't judge the sin. We don't judge the behavior. We don't even judge the sinner, and we certainly don't judge their eternity. That's left for God. And whatever letter he wrote them, it must have been lost or something, because he says, "I have already written you in my letter not to associate with them." So he's already told them that already. Apparently there was another letter that went before this, which makes it even more interesting that there were at least three letters written to this church that was struggling. But like many Christians do, we read the letter, and that is the word, and we apply it to someone else. Boy, I sure wish so-and-so could read this verse right now. And so these Christians in Corinthians felt that as long as they didn't associate with the sinners of the world, that they were good. And this is what Paul is correcting. He says, no, I didn't say to have nothing to do with them. In fact, there are far too many Christians out there now who don't associate with sinners because they think that that is an immoral behavior. But goodness, isn't that what we were saved to do? To associate with the sinners, to go to the places who need Jesus the most? Jesus himself said, I didn't come to heal the healthy. A doctor doesn't go to the healthy, he goes to the sick. There's a street magician, you might know his name, David Blaine. And I like him because he goes into some of the worst places to show his magic. He does sleight of hand stuff, and he goes into the worst neighborhoods, and he just kind of goes and brings a little bit of joy to an otherwise dim and dank place, dwelling. Jesus said in Luke 15, Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Exactly. Now they're getting it. See, we're called to eat with sinners. And there is far greater judgment for the Christian when it comes to the sin than there is for the sinners. You see, they are just doing what comes natural to them. But a saved believer with a new nature should be doing things that come natural to that new nature. And if you are not, having had this experience with Christ, you might as well just turn yourself over to Satan. Stop trying to excuse or explain or hide or balance or whatever it is you're doing to try to make that sin okay that you sleep at night. You might as well just sin properly, Paul says. At least then you might be able to overcome this thing. So Paul, in speaking about Christians, he says that they're trying to meld the world's practices and sin together with the church. And elsewhere, Paul addresses that. He says, as for those agitators, Galatians 5:12, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. So perhaps for you, it's time to stop walking that line with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Choose a side, for goodness sakes. Because, friends, if you're walking with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, there's too much of Jesus in you to enjoy the world, and too much of the world in you to enjoy Jesus. That kind of Christian life only brings forth misery. I know too many Christians that are walking around miserable. It's time to make a stand against the sinful behaviors in your life. It's time to make a commitment and turn your whole life over to Jesus Christ. Oh, I've done that already. I'm sure you have. But time to analyze your life, isn't it? Time to take a look at the things that we need to give back and give over. Well, that's our time for today. Remember, you can join me live for verse-by-verse teaching at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Come by the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM, anywhere in the parking lot to hear these messages. Go to washandword.com. And we hope to see you. You have a blessed day.